We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border to Fort Benning. And go ahead and throw in big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi, too, while you're at it. All just for good measure. All right, we're in studio right now. Now, I knew this is going to be scheduling tight. Kirk Cameron is hopefully still going to be here very soon. He's been actually making the rounds to a number of schools. And so his handlers just let us know that they got held up at one of the schools and they're working to do what they can. In the meantime, though, I do have somebody who was already scheduled to be here at like 3-ish who showed up early on time and overdressed for radio. So chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, longtime friend, head of the Alabama Library Board, and the only butterfly farmer I know. John Wall, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It sounds like I have too much work on my hands now. That's getting to be a longer and longer
By the
list.
Way, most of what I said doesn't pay you a dime.
No, unfortunately, that's right. But you don't do it for the money, I'll tell you that.
No, that's exactly right. I remember talking to somebody, and I know I've joked with you about this before, but about being chairman of the state party is the most overworked, underpaid job in the world.
And I have found out that the state library board is not much better.
Well, especially when you bring your usual type ruffian controversy to it. Yeah. You are indeed a troublemaker.
By nature, and I'm proud of it. So, rough side ruffians, I was the original. I'm the OG.
OG ruffian, and got the t-shirt to prove it.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you something, by the way. State Library Board, what's the latest on all that? Because you guys, I know that you're working on things that could be helpful to curriculum for schools. I know you're working on things that could be helpful to cleaning up libraries and taking things out that shouldn't be in the kids section in the first place. And you've also been getting all kinds of pushback, and there's been threats of litigation and cats and dogs living together. I mean, what's happening now?
Well, look, it's a great question. And the important thing with the library board is we did what needed to be done. We kind of took it. We said no. And no is a powerful concept. You know, it's in our culture, political correctness is pervading every single area.
Oh, yeah.
This woke agenda, socialism, all these things. And so for me, as I watched that board develop and I watched good people but didn't have the backbone to stand up, I was like, okay, somebody has to take a lead. I was a newer member. I was appointed to the board before this controversy came up. But I was like, somebody has to just stand up and say, look, this is not right. Period. Like there's no other thing you can really do with it. You got to say no, and so that concept of no is a powerful concept. But cleaned up the code, and look, the bottom line is, and I'm going to tell parents out there right now, as the state library board director, you are our front lines. Go out there, check out your local library.
Absolutely.
If there are inappropriate books in your children's sections, that library will lose state funding. Period. No loopholes, no ifs, buts, or wins about it. They'll lose state funding immediately. We'll vote on that as a board, and they will not get any until they are in compliance with APLS codes.
Did you ever, and I feel like we talked about this too, but did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine that libraries would be this controversial?
I never. Look, I remember the first time I was sitting on that board. And a parent brought in one of these books, and it was so bad that I wanted to crawl under the table.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I'm a farm.
It's like embarrassing, isn't
it? Yes, very, very, very awkward, very embarrassing. I'm a farm boy from North Alabama. I grew up, you know, conservative. I don't talk. I don't think. I don't look at material like that. Period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I'm sitting in that, I'm like, this is in a children's section for children that are 8 years old, 6 years old. I was horrified. And it was that moment when I was kind of just speechless for a minute. And then I said, and I remember they just say my exact wording. I was like, as a man of faith, I am horrified. And I will make this my priority to get this out of our children's sections. And that commitment still stays to this day.
Well, you guys have done a yeoman's work on it. And I know you got one of my good friends on there, Amy Minton, on the board with you.
No, she is a very solid member for sure.
Yes, she is. So let me ask you something, though, and I'm running a little bit afield of just, but I'm kind of following a stream of consciousness here. I know that you don't sit on the school board, but in your view as a state party chairman, in your view as the library board chair, do you see us being able to get what I would call faith-based and or patriotic civics-type materials into our K-12 schools to restore the balance to what's been, you know, taken away from kids so much in recent years?
Oh, I think that's desperately important. If we talk about what issue is most important in the United States of America right now, I think that issue is our schools. Look, socialists for years, generations have known this fact. Those who control education today control the country tomorrow. And it's why they target our children. Yeah. And this is a targeting. I don't want to hear another person tell me, oh, this is just natural, this is whatever. No. No one thinks it's appropriate or good to put sexually explicit stuff directly in front of children.
Yeah.
Like, there's an agenda, and that agenda, and it's very, very simple. In order to have a socialist form of government, you have to destroy three things. You have to destroy the family unit, you have to destroy your local community, and you have to destroy faith in God. And that way, people aren't dependent on each other. They're not dependent on their family. And they're not dependent on a higher power.
Yeah.
They're dependent on government. And that's the end game. And so in order to do that, you've got to destroy morality. And I think that's what a lot of this is about. It's about destroying the family unit and destroying morality. And that way, that pushes us towards needing government. A broken family needs government for support. And so it's I always say, my stump speeches now, I always start out with, look, we are in a political battle for the heart and the soul of this country. But if we're honest, it goes way past political. This is a battle between light and darkness. And we need to understand that if we're going to have a chance at actually accomplishing our goal, which is restoring America and making sure that our children and our country has a bright future.
Oh, that's so well said. I think you're giving the monologue on Monday show, just so you know. I'll just replay that. Let me jump into politics because it's not like you don't do a little bit of that. So as chair of the state Republican Party, you are also, if I'm not mistaken, what's your title? Chairman of the Southern States. Is that right?
No, that's right. I've got
for the RNC
14 states, the Southern region of the RNC, 14 states.
Yeah. Okay. I did just a little short video today. I started doing this thing where I do what I call thoughts on the morning drive. Mm. And I did this little video this morning where I asked the question, are we seeing the demise of the Democrat Party right now? And Alabama, they're already in disarray. They have been in disarray for a while, but I thought that was more Alabama-centric. But what I'm looking at right now is on the national level, I see no focus. I see no governor on themselves. I see no decorum. And I see no policies and no messaging points. And then all the things they've done the last few weeks. And I want to ask you this. I've also learned today there's a major investigation into Act Blue, which is their chief fundraising arm. So are we seeing the demise of the Democrat Party?
Look, yes and no. And I say no because I don't want anyone out there to get complacent.
Yeah.
The Democrats, and it's bigger than the Democrats. It's this socialist movement. It's this politically correct movement. It's the mainstream media. They are upset. They've taken a hard hit. Their narrative that the American people wanted to be, that what they wanted the American people got, they got shot down November 5th.
Yeah.
The American people are not for this woke trash. They are not for the socialist agenda. And this was a check on their power. So to that I say, stay vigilant. Fight for freedom. We've been given a four-year reprieve. They will be back. They will be back stronger than ever. And this battle, we have to take it from now national politics and take it into our local government, take it into our schools, and take it into every area of life and combat this agenda that is still going to be being pushed. As far as the actual Democrat Party, though, I think, look, right now the Democrat Party could be a study on why DEI projects don't work. They raised up people who were not necessarily the best communicators.
Yeah.
Were not necessarily the most electable, but they fit their narrative. And this is what happens. You end up with a organization that does not have a good leader. Think about who's leading the Democrat line right now on the national level.
Yeah, who?
They don't have a. They do don't not have, a good, have a good.
There's
leader.
No central figure.
That's right. And you look on the Republican side. You got Donald Trump. You got J.D. Vance. You got Ron DeSantis. I mean, you got Glenn Youngkin. You got all these guys you could pull out and put anywhere and have them represent the party well day one. Byron Donalds. So I think that's a big thing. When you raise people up who don't deserve to be where they're at, you actually destroy your organization. Now, what I love about this right now is the Democrats are doubling down on the same flawed policies that beat them November 5th.
Yeah.
And if that continues, who knows? Maybe it is the end of the...
At least the end as we know it, right?
Right.
The Act Blue thing, I don't know if you've been tracking that or not. So for people who aren't familiar, maybe I'm a political junkie, but the two biggest fundraising arms for the party politics that we have nationally are an organization called WinRed on the Republican side, and then Act Blue, which is the Democrat side. News broke this morning that most of the major staff positions at ActBlue all resigned in the last few days. And the last attorney they had in the general counsel's office left yesterday after sending an email reminding everybody that there are whistleblower statutes they can use, like whatever that means. And this is not just rumor. This is actually following a congressional investigation and inquiry that began. What I'm also hearing about ActBlue is that what they're finding is they were taking foreign donations and not processing them when they shouldn't have, among other things. What are your thoughts on that as in your position with the RNC?
You're basically saying the Democrats have been cheating?
No.
I know. I thought it was shocker.
I didn't say it that way.
No, look, ActBlue, I have had serious questions about them for a while because they bring in too much money.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Right. There's something wrong. Either they're assigning donations, larger donations under multiple people. Perhaps it's the foreign donations. I don't know what. I see the smoke. But I do believe there's fire there, and I think these resignations, I think that proves that we're correct in that assumption. There is something wrong. What is it? We don't know yet, but I hope we find out, and they need to be held accountable for it.
Well, if ActBlue goes down, the Democrat Party is going to have a much harder climb back to doing anything meaningful because that's their money arm. And you and I both know politics does have a cost attached to it. There's a paycheck and there's also a accounts payable that has to be made on everything you do to run for office.
Well, and don't forget the Democrat Party is still hundreds of million dollars in debt.
Oh, they are. Did Kamala ever pay off her $20 million from the campaign?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I'll tell you this. So our state party meeting was last Saturday.
Yeah.
And somebody brought up in one of the reports that the Democrat Party was, you know, the Republican Party had this much money in the bank. The state party, we're over $1 million in the bank in the state party. And then the Democrat Party is $200 some million in debt. And the crowd applauded. Now, I had to go immediately because there were press in the room. So I had to get up immediately afterwards and I said to the press in the room, that is probably the only time you will hear the Republican Party applaud debt.
Well, it's a perfect fit, though.
Yes.
All right, listen, we're in studio right now with Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, who, among other things, is also the chairman of the State Library Board. And he's still a businessman. He's got his own life out there, but he's invested so much of his time and energy in the things that ruffians care about. So we'll be right back after this break. More with John Wall, and we'll see what's going on with our other guest, Kirk Cameron, whether he can make it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, well, we just learned a moment ago that the schedule got all gaffed up, and that Kirk Cameron will not be in studio tonight, but we still have that great event tonight in Gadsden. He's been out speaking to multiple schools. I know he was at least two elementary schools and one middle school today here in the Etowah County area in Northeast Alabama. And he is slated to be at the church at Wills Creek tonight, which is one of the biggest churches in the Etowah County region. And it's going to be a great event, his new Faith and Family Tour. And I'll tell you more about that here in a few minutes. Right now, I'm back in studio with John Wall, who is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. All right. So listen, John, I remember what it was like being a county party chairman. Cannot imagine what it's like being a state party chairman, much less a regional chairman. That being said, we have a potential dynamic coming up in the election season, which a lot of folks don't realize starts here real soon, because 2026 may be 26, but people could start their actual formal fundraising and campaign organizational efforts 1 year out from the primary, which is just like, what, 2 months away?
No, that's right, end of May.
Yeah, and so that being said, there's a lot of speculation right now about whether, and there's articles in Yellowhammer and 1819 and others, there's a lot of speculation right now that Senator Tuberville may well want to run for governor. There's a lot of people that think that would be a pretty cool idea. I would love him in both locations, but I'll be honest with you.
You now believe in cloning, right?
I do. I'm ready. Yes. Can we have Tuberville 1 versus Tuberville 2? That'd be great. But and what happens if they disagree? Yeah. But no. If the thing is, Tuberville's seat is up, so he's not running safe. If he runs for the governorship, he's leaving behind his Senate seat, which means that you, as a sitting party chairman, could be in the position of not only seeing all the other races going on, all the state legislative races, you may have the two biggest races in the entire Southeast, being the governor of Alabama and the Senate position from Alabama, both being open seats. Woo!
Yeah, at the same time.
I mean, Are you tired yet?
Well, and it goes past that. Okay, let's think about what we have up in 2026 right now in Alabama. You mentioned you're going to have all the state senators, all the state representatives are going to be on the ballot back up for re-election. But then think about the constitutional office, because it's not just governor.
Oh, yeah.
You got governor, you got lieutenant governor, you got secretary of state, you got state auditor, you've got agriculture and industries, and you've got attorney general.
Yep.
That are all open. They're not just up for election. They're all open.
They're all term limited. They're out.
And then you add to that a potentially U.S. Senate race. The dynamics change. Everything changes. So, you know, it's going to interest. I've been hearing recently different names. You know, different people saying, "Oh, you know, if Tupperville does pull the trigger, would this person be interested? Would that person be interested?"
Yeah.
And I think that decision. I think there's a lot of people out there waiting to announce what they're running for, what they're thinking about, till they see what actually happens in that gubernatorial race, and is there an open Senate seat?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of names that people are already expecting to run for something. I think Steve Marshall is still on everybody's mind. Will Ainsworth is on everybody's mind. And then certainly Tupperville, what's he going to do? I think Tupperville would be a shoe-in if he wanted to run for, you know, his incumbent position as a U.S. senator. But I think he's also got strong name ID if he wanted to run statewide for governor. And then it changes. It changes if Tupperville makes that decision, it changes our political landscape.
Very much. And the big question, too, is, you know, Will Ainsworth just this week
came out
with he's ready to run no matter what.
He says. So that's right.
That's a clash of the titans.
And everybody believes, and I've known Will for a long time. Everybody believes that Will's been sort of posturing towards that for quite a while. Yeah. But if that happens, if Tupperville does that, it when I say changes the political landscape, it changes the calculus for people who are thinking about what they're going to do. Because just like Kay Ivey, who ran for lieutenant governor, she had been a gubernatorial candidate until she saw the race changing before her eyes and she moved down to the lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. There are people who are going to change what they will do based upon what Tupperville does.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, you've got people who are obviously interested in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
I know one of those names out there is John Merrill, right? Rumor is he may be running for one of the other constitutional offices. If a U.S. Senate seat comes open, what do you do? Open Senate seats don't come open very often.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of people who think, okay, this is possibly the only shot in my lifetime. Do I take it?
Well, I'll go ahead with 30 seconds left and just throw one more monkey wrench in your works here. I'm just sitting here speculating that we may wind up seeing a new Space Force secretary, and that could wind up being our current Congressman Mike Rogers. Because there's always been that speculation that Mike Rogers helped establish Space Force, that he's the chair of the House Armed Services, which, you know, it's hard to leave that position, but holy cow. And then maybe he's even tired of being a congressman. I don't know. I haven't asked him, but he's been there for a while. And so if he vacates, then you've got a senior congressional figure, senator, governor, and everything else all wrapped up in one. And then there's Tennessee.
Hey, and look, don't forget there could be other congressmen jump in the Senate race. We could have all open seats. Who knows?
It could be madness.
Fasten your seatbelt for 2026.
You know what's cool, though, is I do believe that the Republican Party has a deeper bench to work with. And so the fact that we're talking about this means there are names.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yep. All right, more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. No, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I've got a captive guest right now, and so I just held on to him. John Wall is still with me, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. He's also the chair. How do you call it? You're a vice chair of the RNC for the Southern States. Is that the correct way of saying it?
That's right. Technically, it's a vice chairman of the RNC, but they elect four regions. So I'm the southeastern region chairman, quote unquote. Technical term is vice chair.
Do you ever see your day job?
What day job? I actually last week, weather was nice. I was like, I need to spend more time on the farm. So I got a few days in.
You did, I've mentioned it, but I just think it's the coolest thing in the world that you actually have a butterfly farming business. which is pretty epic.
No, you know, it's unique.
I've never met anybody that does that.
I'm convinced that I got elected not because of my political skill, but because I was a butterfly farmer. Like, how do you vote against a butterfly farmer?
Yeah, he's such a nice guy, and he's a butterfly farmer, yeah. So well, he's got my vote.
I actually used that. I was going on Good Morning America,
yeah.
A year out from the election. I knew they were going to be asking me some hard questions, you know, pro-life, Trump. All the negativity towards Trump. Yeah. And so when I'm in those hard situations, I'm going with MSNBC or ABC or CNN. I always start with, you know, behind the scenes, because they mic you up and you prepare. And I was like, you know how I want to introduce you. Here's a little bit about my background. I'm the youngest state party chairman in the country. And I'm a butterfly farmer. Because this is my hope, that it's hard to attack a butterfly farmer too brutally on the air.
See, I've never had that luxury. Yeah. I sit around saying things like "win friends, kill enemies," and they're like, "We got to take this guy down fast."
Yeah. Kill him with diplomacy. That's my model.
Hey, speaking of people that say stuff, MSNBC. You mentioned it a minute ago. I got a piece here from MSNBC. It's in my stack of resources for the day. Stacey Abrams wrote a thing that came. It's attributed to her. I don't know that Stacey Abrams could write an article that's over 2 pages long.
ChatGPT can, though.
Do what? Oh, there is that. Anyway, she wrote it for MSNBC. It came out Dateline right about 3.5-4 days ago. And the headline is, this is the liberal view, obviously, Stacey Abrams. The GOP wants to treat American values as a culture war issue, and we shouldn't take the bait.
There's so many responses to that.
My first thought was, this is... American values are a culture war issue.
By nature, values are our culture.
That's absolutely. Right. Yep. That's exactly what culture is made of.
Well, look, let's go deeper with this. It's been the Democrat Party and Stacey Abrams herself in Georgia. And I know this very well because this is one of my two troubled children in the southern region. I only have two, North Carolina and Georgia. The Democrat Party have used their culture war issues for decades.
Yeah.
We saw that most recently with the whole thing over pro-life, right? Like, they use that as a culture war bat to beat Republicans over the head. And I think Republicans ran from it. And I'm really proud to see the Republican Party waking up. And by Republican Party, I don't mean the party itself. I mean our elected officials.
Yeah.
Sometimes they take a little more time to realize what's going on with the base. The party here in Alabama is very grassroots. We feel it. We know what the base is thinking.
Yep.
And it's time we did get into the culture war issues, you know, actually defend ourselves on abortion, because it is okay to protect innocent life. That's not something we should run from. We should run to it and explain why we care. And it's the fact that we care about that is why.
Defend who we are.
Yes. We defend the rights of the unborn, just like we're going to defend your rights as born, whether that's the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. It's why we defend the press's right, even the press's right to attack us.
Absolutely.
First Amendment. We believe in free speech. You know,
absolutely.
We believe in these things. And so, look, it's time the Republicans got involved in the culture war. And you know what? There's nothing more that I would rather be in the political fight for than fighting for things like pro-life, than fighting for the minds of our children, than fighting against our girls being subjected to men in their bathrooms or playing against them in their sports. So bring it on.
I agree. I say bring it on. And she, of course, she's lamenting the intent to do away with DEI. That's one of her. And she also, by the way, equates the releasing of the world from DEI's grasp as racism. So it went down that immediate road. There's no other mantra they've got. And when they don't see something going their way, they bring up either abortion or racism. And I have yet to see anything else on their plate.
Well, it's all they have, insults, right? If you can't if you can't win an honest and open debate on what's, you know, a policy debate, then what you're left with is insulting your opponent. And look, that's what Democrats are best at, because they can't win the policy debates.
No, they can't. And we showed that in November. Hey, let me ask you something before we go. We got about 5 or 6 minutes here. You, as a state party chairman, I'll tell you, you know, me being in the Alabama State Senate for 8 years, and I loved our party members, and I was on the executive committee back then, the state executive committee, and very involved, and I was a county party chairman. But I rarely ever saw the state party taking what I would call a firm stance on legislative matters. In fact, there were a couple of times when I got miffed, because I would feel like we were getting beat up by the teachers union, and we never saw the party come to the state house and talk to us.
Yeah. Or have your back, right?
Yeah. And I said as much. But I don't see that with you. you come out with legislative agendas. You've got bills you're trying to get passed, and I've actually seen you go into the state house and meet with people directly. And I know you've got some tax bills right now. So what do you got brewing on this from the party standpoint?
Well, first, I appreciate you recognizing it because, look, policy is very important to me. I always tell people, and this goes for our candidates too, what makes the Republican Party special? It's not our name. It's the values we represent.
There you go.
And if we ever seek to, if we ever stop seeking to stand for good values, then we will cease to become great. Like this is just a fundamental fact. We have to keep the platform strong. We have to advocate for good policy that actually helps people have a safer and more productive life. One thing that's near and dear to my heart is letting people, hardworking Alabama families and individuals, keep more of their money. This is something government forgets. Government funds are not created by the government. You know, they're created by we the people.
Right.
And so any chance I get to say, look, where can we find areas where we can cut wasteful spending, trim the fat, or if we have budget surpluses, return that to the people. And I'm really proud of some of the work we've seen recently on this. The most recent bills are bring down the income tax a little bit with some extra areas where people can have deductions in the right places, especially looking at the child care deduction, larger families. Yeah. People shouldn't be punished for having a kid. Like, let's help them out. Cutting the grocery tax. This is something the party has led on. And what I love about this one is it helps everyone who eats.
Yeah, and by the way, everyone eats.
That's right.
So this is a tax that reaches everyone.
It reaches everyone, and especially helps those who are struggling to put food on the table. You know, thinking about the lower income families or single parents, and we want to be there for them. Look, cost of living is going up. We're still suffering under the policies of the Democrat Party and Joe Biden over the last 4 years. People are struggling to make ends meet, and government, we want to put money back in the pockets of the individuals.
And your eggs would be 4% cheaper on day one.
That's right. Well, look, and we see Donald Trump leading the line in Washington, D.C., right? Like getting it back and saying, look, we need to put people first again, whether that's, the tax cuts, the policies, what he's doing. And I want to see Alabama leading that line as well. I want to see Alabama leading the nation in conservative policy. It's our birthright. You won't find a state that's more conservative than us. I know I'm partial, but I think the people of Alabama are the greatest people in this country.
I would absolutely completely agree with that. And I'll tell you what, though, I'm not knocking Governor Ivey when I say this. Some might take it that way, but I think the state is ready, and I think the nation needs Alabama to be a vocally, visually leader state. We are a red state. We are a state where Republican values and traditional conservative values and Christian values are still appreciated and much wanted. But I feel like the one thing that's been missing is the fact that Alabama has not been like look at Ron DeSantis to our look at Brian Kemp to our east, look at Tate Reeves to our west, look at Bill Lee to me. You always know where the governor is, and you know what the agenda is, and you kind of get a feel that somebody's out there stirring things with a stick and doing a press conference to talk about it. And I'm ready for Alabama to be that.
No, look, 100%. The people of Alabama are ready for Alabama to take this leadership position.
And we've got everything it takes to do it.
We do. We've got the base. Look, if Ron DeSantis can do what he did in Florida with a 50-50 state, imagine what Alabama can do. And look, I'm tired. No offense to Ron DeSantis. I'm ready to stop following Florida. Let's do some stuff where Florida has to follow us for a change.
That's exactly right. Well, I think the days to come are going to be very telling. I hope that some of my companions from days that are still there in the legislature and all the ones who joined thereafter are going to wind up doing some things that are more red meat. Lay off the gambling, lay off of the fears of whether we should extend the tax cut, that kind of stuff. It's time to remember who they are.
Be bold.
And be bold. Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that you as a party chairman call them to that. And I thank you for being here today.
Yeah, good to be on the show.
Absolutely. John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Oh, by the way, a vice chair for the RNC for the Southern States. And oh, by the way, a pretty good dude. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.